Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm beginning a brand new series, and I've entitled this series, Killing Sacred Cows. And, you know, it's kind of a funny title. We've got a little cartoon picture on the front of our CD album that we're offering on this. And there's a story behind that. Actually, I started teaching this at one of our Gospel Truth seminars, and I just felt impressed of the Lord to deal with some of the major issues that I believe keep people from receiving from God. Let me use this verse out of Mark chapter 7. Jesus was speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees. Verse 10, it says, "For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things do ye." And so Jesus was using an example saying that the Ten Commandments say that you're supposed to honor your father and mother, and Moses later attached a curse or a punishment to breaking that commandment by saying that whoever curses father or mother is supposed to be put to death. But the Jews of Jesus' day, the religious system had come along and says, now that could be, there can be an exception to this. If the person takes the money that they were going to use to honor their father and mother, to take care of their parents when they get elderly, and if you took that money and if you gave it to the church and dedicated it to God, then that would be an exception. And they could get out of the responsibility of taking care of their elderly parents. And so that's the example that he's using. And he said this in verse 13, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you've delivered. And, you know, this is something that not only happened in Jesus' day, this happens in our day. And the word of God is very clear, I believe, on many, many issues, such as the baptism of the Holy Spirit, about what true salvation is. And that it's by grace and not by your works. Healing and prosperity and deliverance and victory for the Christian, and on I could go. And the scripture is really very clear, but we have all of these religious traditions today that come along and that give excuses or exceptions, such as like in the area of healing. There's a lot of people that see that the Bible, the New Testament, Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, is what it says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. And so Jesus definitely healed people. There's other scriptures. 3 John chapter 1 says that, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, "He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." And there's just so many scriptures that talk about healing. Jesus' example of healing, the scriptures show that it's God's will for us to be well. But then we have religion today that comes along, and because there are people who pray for healing and don't get healed, and there's always these examples of somebody who tried to believe God, thought they were believing God, and quit their medicine or did something and died. And because of these negative examples, people come up with religious traditions and doctrines that, well, it's not God's will to heal everybody. Sometimes God punishes you through sickness and disease. And maybe these sicknesses and diseases are actually a blessing in disguise. And they attach all of these religious traditions to it. And what it does, it makes the word of God of none effect. And so in this recent Gospel Truth Seminar, what I did, I really felt impressed of the Lord to just go through and attack what I call these sacred cows, these religious teachings and doctrines that nobody will touch because they're so prevalent. And yet, they're just exactly as Jesus said here, it makes the word of God of none effect. And so I just started attacking these things. I tried to be nice about it. I tried to sneak up on it. I tried to be, so that I wasn't as aggressive. And, you know, there's just no good way to kill these sacred cows. And actually, this picture that I have on the front of my album about this, let me tell you why I came up with that. As I was teaching, right in the middle of this Gospel Truth Seminar, I'd been trying to hold back and not just, you know, attack things, but I was trying to be very scholarly and deal with it. And there's just no way to do it. And so I came up with this example. I remember a guy told a joke about a salesman that was driving through the country. And anyway, he saw this cow in a farmer's field, and this cow had a wooden leg, just like, you know, we've described in this little picture right here. And so the guy was so intrigued, he just stopped and he pulled off and he went into the farmer and he says, I'm amazed. I have never seen a cow with a wooden leg. He says, why does this cow have a wooden leg? And he says, well, you don't understand. This is a very special cow. And he says, what makes this cow special? And he says, well, there was a time that we actually had a fire in the house and our smoke detectors didn't work. And this fire was beginning to engulf the house and we were sleeping through the whole thing. But this cow actually made so much noise, broke down the front door. It got everybody's attention. And so we were able to escape and get out before we died in this fire. This cow saved our life. And the guy said, well, man, that's amazing. I've never heard of a cow doing something like that. He says, that really is a special cow. But he says, that still doesn't explain why it has a wooden leg. And he says, well, you don't understand. This is a very special cow. And he said, there was another time that my kids were playing in one of the stock tanks and they were swimming. And one of them was drowning. And this cow waded all the way out into that stock tank and allowed my kid to grab hold of this cow. And then this cow pulled that kid out of the stock tank and saved his life. Says, it's a very special cow. And he says, well, that's amazing. I've never heard of something. But he says, it still doesn't explain why it's got a wooden leg. And this farmer finally says, well, you can't eat a special cow all at one time. And anyway, this is the way I felt as I was teaching this. See, I was trying to be very diplomatic and just piece by piece deal with all of these religious traditions today that are making the word of no effect. And right in the middle of this teaching, I just decided there is no easy way to kill a sacred cow. You just got to kill it. And so I just pulled out all of the stops and I went ahead and taught on this. And so what we're doing here for the next couple of weeks, I'm just going to hit some of these major doctrines that I believe are sacred cows, these traditions and doctrines of men that make the Word of God of none effect. And I believe that if you can get this, it's going to make a big difference. Let me also just say that I am only going to just barely touch on these issues because these are things that I have teaching on in depth on. And yet, in this Gospel Truth Seminar that we held, rather than teaching in depth, I just kind of gave an overview. And, you know, I found that this was really beneficial, because sometimes when you get into all of the detail and you are trying to establish a point and use all of the scriptures to verify that, people get lost in the detail and they lose the overview. They lose the big picture. They get lost in the detail. And so as I went through and I just dealt, there were five teachings. There's five teachings in this set that we're offering. And as I dealt with these things very quickly, and then referred them to other materials that would go into greater depth, I think that the overall impact was really powerful. And so that's what I want to accomplish here on television, is that we aren't going to be going into a great amount of detail, but we're going to be hitting these main issues, and we're going to be offering, of course, this teaching that I have on killing sacred cows, but then there will be companion teachings that will go along with each one of them that will go into greater detail. And I encourage you to get all of this, and I think it's going to make a big difference. The first thing I want to deal with, and I dealt with this recently in our teaching on Grace and Faith, this brand new book that I put out. And so again, I'm going to be hitting this very quickly, but in my estimation, even though I've dealt with this repeatedly on this program, I think I would be negligent or irresponsible if I didn't deal with this as the number one sacred cow, the number one religious doctrine that is making the Word of God of none effect, in my estimation, is an extreme teaching on the sovereignty of God. Now, again, I've said this. I won't go into all of the detail, but I am not against the sovereignty of God if you will use sovereign as the dictionary defines it. And that means first in rank, order, or authority, supreme. And if you want to talk about God as being the top of the food chain, that nobody has authority or power above God, well, then I am 100% in agreement with that. So technically, I am not against God being sovereign if you will use the word sovereign the way that the dictionary defines it. But there is a religious connotation that you can't find in any dictionary. The dictionary won't say this, but religion has defined the sovereignty of God as saying that God controls everything, that God is responsible for everything that happens, good and bad. And there's a little variation among religion on what this means. There is an extreme that says God controls everything completely. It is all pre-established, predestined, and that there is no fluctuation. There is no part that we have to play in it at all. A lesser interpretation, but still holding on to this wrong connotation associated with sovereignty, is people will say, well, God doesn't necessarily plan the evil, but He has to permit it. In other words, it's like if you could imagine a huge desk in heaven that all of the things that Satan does and wants to do has to come through God's desk. And even though God may not have planned it, this isn't His perfect will, He has to make it His permissive will. He has to stamp approved on it that the devil can't do anything without God allowing it. Now, that's a lesser, less extreme, but it's still saying that to some degree, God controls everything. Nothing happens without His will and His knowledge. And that is not what the Bible teaches. Now, there, of course, are some scriptures that talk about predestination. Again, you know, if you'll get the materials that we offer that go along with this, it'll give you a greater detail. I'm just going to say this very quickly. But in the book of Romans chapter 8 and also Ephesians chapter 1, there's only four verses that mention the word predestinated or predestined. And they're only used, that word is only used four times in the New Testament. And actually, they're in two verses in Romans chapter 8 and two verses in Ephesians chapter 1. And it's only two separate instances that this word is used four different times. And so really, there's only twice in the New Testament that this whole term predestined or predestinated is used. And if you were to just view it from this perspective, that, you know, for something to only be mentioned twice in all of the New Testament, it shouldn't be a major doctrine. Major doctrines are things that are just repeated over and over, like, for instance, I used earlier talking about healing. I could give you probably 50 passages in the Gospels where Jesus healed people. Then I can give you many more passages like the ones I've already used in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, and 1 Peter 2:24, and 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2, where it says that it's God's will above everything that we prosper and be in health. And so I'm sure that we could come up with 50 examples, probably 30 or 40 scriptures that talk about it is God's will to heal and things like that. See, now that is a major doctrine that is well established. For something like predestination to only be mentioned in two separate places in the New Testament relegates this to something that should not be getting the attention that a lot of people put on it. And they have made a major doctrine out of this. And the key to all of this, let me just real quickly turn over to Romans chapter 8 and show you these verses. To me, this is the key to understanding predestination. Romans chapter 8 and in verse 29, it says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, He also justified, and whom He justified, He also glorified." So these are those two verses in Romans chapter 8 I was talking about. And notice in verse 29, it says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate." The word predestinate means to predetermine, or in other words, it's something that is planned, it's something that's established, it's something that you cannot change. God planned it in advance, and it's just the way it's going to be. Now, people have taken this passage and the one passage in Ephesians chapter 1, and they have from this built this huge doctrine that feeds right into this wrong teaching on the sovereignty of God, that God predetermines everything and that He controls everything and that there is nothing you can do about it. But look at this. It says, whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. What does it mean, who He foreknew? This is talking about God's ability to know something in advance before it happens. And this is demonstrated, and this is well documented in Scripture. I mean, there's just many, many, many examples of prophecies. Like, you could take the prophecies about the Messiah, and it was prophesied where He would be born. It prophesied that He would go into Egypt. It prophesied that He would not be a beautiful person. He would be normal and plain-looking in every way. It prophesied that He would be crucified, that He would be mocked, that He'd be spit upon, that they'd give Him gall to drink, that they would mock Him and do all of this. His own brothers would reject Him, and on the prophecies go. Now see, that's the foreknowledge of God. God is able to see the future and predict it. And this is what it's referring to, in His foreknowledge. Now, foreknowledge doesn't mean that God necessarily shapes the future or commands it to be this way, but it just means that God is able to see what is going to happen in the future. Foreknowledge and predestination are not the same thing. Predestination is talking about it's predetermined. It is going to happen this way. Foreknowledge is just God is able to see in advance. In other words, He's able to perceive, but He doesn't necessarily control. So put these together, and what this is saying is that who God, through His foreknowledge, the people that He saw would accept Him and would accept Jesus as their Savior and become born again. God was able to know who in their lifetime is going to submit to Him. Now, that doesn't mean He causes them to submit to Him, nor does it mean that He causes people who don't receive salvation to reject it. God doesn't determine this, but He just has the ability to know who will and who will not accept Him. And those who He foreknew would accept Jesus and be born again, those people have been predestinated. But predestinated to what? Now, see, again, the people who really emphasize the extreme sovereignty of God say, well, everything is predestinated. It's predestinated who you marry. It's predestinated what your kids are going to be. It's predestinated, whether you succeed or fail, whether you get a divorce, whether you get sick, whether your business fails, that God just controls everything. But this verse says those who He foreknew, those who He knew would accept Him, He also did predestinate to what? To be conformed to the image of His Son. This is just saying that every person that God was able to foresee would be born again, God has predetermined. It is predetermined. It is non-negotiable. It will happen that they are going to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now, if that doesn't happen in this life because we do have freedom, and God does not control us like a robot, and He does not predestinate every single decision and thing that we do. We can thwart God's plan in this life. For instance, it is God's will that you be well, but if you don't believe, you won't receive. It is God's will that you prosper, but if you don't believe, you won't receive. It is God's will that you be victorious. And on I could go with all of these examples, but those don't automatically come to pass. It is not predestined that you are going to be conformed to the image of His Son in this life. It just says it is predestined that you will be conformed to the image of His Son. And if you put this together with 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we shall see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. That verse is saying that when the Lord comes back in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says we will be changed instantly from mortal to immortal, from corruptible to incorruptible. And according to 1 John chapter 3 in verse 2, we will be like him. And so this where it says we have been predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, it's not going to be completed, and this isn't going to happen completely until either the Lord comes back and receives us or we go to be with him. When we get our glorified body is when this is going to be fulfilled. Now, to the degree that we cooperate with God and seek God and believe and renew our mind, we can experience to a degree this being conformed to the image of his son now. We can begin to operate in joy and peace. We can love each other. We can walk in healing and deliverance. We can be prospered. And we can do it to a degree now, but it's still dependent upon our cooperation. It just isn't something that God sovereignly controls and makes come to pass. But there is a predestination that if you are truly born again, someday, if at no other time, when the Lord returns, we are going to receive a glorified body and we're going to be perfect. We will know all things as we are known, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We will be perfect. Our body will be perfect. There won't be any more sickness, no more sorrow, no more pain. We are going to be conformed to the image of his son. And so, again, this is all that these verses are talking about. It is a total travesty and a misrepresentation of Scripture to take these passages and the passages in Ephesians chapter 1 and use them to teach that God controls everything and that you have no choice in the matter and that if God wants you sick, you're going to be sick. It doesn't matter. If he wants you well, you'll be well and all of these things. That is not true. That is a sacred cow that needs to be killed. You don't need to kill it inch by inch. You don't need to just cut off a little piece. You just need to kill this thing. It needs to die. It is a wrong doctrine. And as I said at the beginning of our program, I teach on this a lot. And because I think that this is really one of the biggest problems in the body of Christ. I think it is the worst heresy of all is this extreme sovereignty of God, that God causes every rape, every murder, every child, that nothing happens without God either willing it or allowing it. And that is not what the Scriptures teach. And I've got more to share about this, and so I'm going to continue this on my program tomorrow. But I tell you, I just believe that this is one of those sacred cows that you do not need to eat a bit piece at a time. You just need to kill the whole thing, butcher it right now. This needs to die. I tell you, this renders you powerless. James chapter 4, verse 7 says that you have to resist the devil and he will flee from you. What's the point of resisting if you think that God only allows the devil to do this, that the devil couldn't do anything? Nothing negative could happen without God's approval. I tell you, it renders you powerless. And I'll share more about that on our programs the rest of this week. I encourage you to listen to our announcer as he gives you some information about how you can get this brand new teaching on killing sacred cows. We've got it available in DVD as seen on TV, a DVD live from my Gospel Truth Seminar, as well as a CD set. So please listen and call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Killing Sacred Cows was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD, or you can get a DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request item T1063C for the CD, T3207D for the live DVD, or T1063D for the as seen on TV DVD when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The first teaching in the Killing Sacred Cows series titled God is Good, God is Faithful is available on CD for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this first CD free of charge when you write or call. Request item TK157C. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book, titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith, is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. Request book T228.
Once again, I'd just like to emphasize that I've got this brand new product entitled Killing Sacred Cows, and you've got a CD version. We got a live version that was recorded at one of my Gospel Truth seminars. I also have a version that was taken directly from these TV programs if you want to get the exact material. And then we also have a series that I've entitled The Word Became Flesh that will go into this subject against the extreme wrong teaching on the sovereignty of God in much greater detail. And so we're offering this companion teaching on The Word Became Flesh also. If you'll listen, our announcer will give you all of this information. I encourage you to please get these materials. They would change your life.
On today's program, Andrew mentioned his teaching titled, The Word Became Flesh. This product is available on CD for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1057C. To write us, use the address on your screen. If you prefer, you can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar December 31st through January 2nd. He'll also be in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar February 4th through the 6th.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to join me on December the 31st. That's, of course, New Year's Eve through January the 2nd. We're going to be back at the Biltmore Resort in Phoenix, Arizona. This is going to be a special time. I've got a special announcement to share with you. This will be my first time to share it publicly. And I tell you, if at all possible, I'd encourage you to come and be with us. Also, Charlie and Jill LeBlanc will be there with a live band. It's going to be a great time. Last year, we had over 1,000 people. We're expecting more this year. Plus, you get a special rate at the Biltmore, a reduced price of $139 per room. And they normally start around $300 up to $1,000. And that price is good for 3 days before or 3 days after. So come join us for our Phoenix Gospel Truth, December the 31st through January the 2nd.
For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
Now this ninth verse makes it very clear. Here's God's will. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You can't get it any clearer than this. Here is God's will. No one should perish. That is God's will.